Hello and welcome to QSO. It's all about ham radio. But this week, we kind of go down a little bit different road. For those of you that may be even slightly interested in conspiracy theories, this guest will put you on the edge of your seat. Have you looked up in the sky and kind of wondered why it is that over your fair city, especially if you're a telescope owner, it's almost impossible to find a clear night in the sky? Well, this fella has the answer to that. Gonna tell you all about it. Joe Smoljan, W2FED, right here on QSO. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right, a shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in, the aircraft band, so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in, and also, of course, a very hot shortwave. Shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out. Or you can get the CC Quick Charger, which is a battery charger. It charges AA, AAA, CD. Shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna, or do you want the CC Quick Charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Sea Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to seacrane.com. Our guest is Joe Smoljan, call sign W2FED. He is from New York, and he's got some interesting stories to tell. I just want to say that he's an extra class ham. He's into ham radio, that's for sure, and very active on Echolink. And it just so happens that he's also stumbled into some other things that he likes to talk about, and I think that what his subject matter is very valid. So I would invite everyone to take and listen carefully and consider what he's saying. You know, don't just write this off like, oh, well, that's just another one of these conspiracy things. No, it's not. I have two telescopes. I have an 8-inch Dobsonian and a 10-inch Dobsonian. And I'm about ready to get rid of the both of them, because what I have in the skies over my home here in Lebanon, Tennessee, is, I guess, about the best way you could describe it is smoldering, smudging clouds that cover everything up, and they're there every night. And I remember as a kid, skies never looked like this. You'd have some clouds, and you'd have some overcast. But, I mean, on a night when you would think it would be just nice and clear, here are these doggone chemtrails from these jet airplanes, and they just screw up the night sky to the point where it's even pointless to own a telescope in this city. So anyways, with all that said, hello, Joe. How are you tonight?
How you doing? Good evening, Ted. Thanks for having me on.
I've been looking forward to this. He and I have been trying to hook up for the longest time. And tell me a little bit about your ham radio career first. How did you get into ham radio? What was it that twisted your arm and you had to do this?
Boy, that's a long story. I've been wanting to be a ham radio operator since I was 15 years old. In the 70s, I was heavily into CBs and everything else, and I never got licensed because at the time I could never get the Morse code down. So at the time it required Morse code to get ham license, so I never bothered. Over the years, it just family and home and work, and I never got my ham radio license. Finally, in 2011, I made a commitment that I'm going to test and get my ham radio. And so in the scope of things, I'm a relatively new ham radio operator, although I've been doing radio communications for a big part of my life. One hobby that I have is satellite communications, and I follow NOAA weather satellites, and I follow the GOES 13 and 15 in different spectrums, and I follow weather patterns and hurricanes. Currently, I live on my QTH's Long Island, New York, and ever since I moved out here in the summer of 1996, I've been concerned with hurricanes and the impact that could wipe out my house. So I picked up spotting hurricanes and following weather patterns and really got good at predicting the effects of the weather, so to speak. I got licensed, my ham license, in 2011, and I jumped into both feet. Besides doing just regular ham operating, I got into Echolink, and I found the Echolink NASA conference server with the space shuttle missions. So for the whole summer 2011, the Atlantis mission, I actually took off of work and just played with the whole space program, listening to it on Echolink as the Atlantis was coupling up with the International Space Station. Subsequently, I got to meet Ron Garron, the astronaut. He did a presentation at the Cradle of Aviation in Garden City, New York. So I kind of got to meet Ron Garron, which I felt like, you know, a giddy schoolboy meeting him. It was a joy to do that. I loved the space program. If my grades had been better, I would have been in it. But I discovered cars, girls, and beaches, so went my academic career. But between the communications and the space program and the island, and I love photography. I used to do it when I was younger. I was an aspiring photojournalist, and now I just photograph scenics. I love to go four-wheeling on the outer beaches. There's a lot of beaches on Long Island, New York. It's a big island. There's a special permit where you could go four-wheeling out in remote areas where there's hardly any people on the beaches. In March of 2014, I observed something weird in the sky that didn't make sense to me. At that time, it looked like some kind of release, a chemical release from an airplane contrail. I went online and I Googled, you know, just lines in the sky, and I got hits galore. What I stumbled upon, and what's known in the conspiracy theory world as chemtrails, and I dug into it further. And now what it is contrail release for managing, it's climate engineering. It's a rogue program that's being run in secret. It's jet fuel being modified to create clouds to combat global warming. What I've discovered since I've been doing this heavily is it's a matter of terminology. The term itself, chemtrails, has been solidified as an internet hoax, a term. So chemtrails, by definition, is just something that a bunch of aluminum hat-wearing crazies believe in. The proper terminology for it is geoengineering, or climate engineering by contrail delivery. It's atmospheric spraying by using additives to JP-8 jet fuel to inhibit cloud formation. cirrus clouds from airplanes. Now, if you look up in the sky every day, you see them, because now, since March of 2014, from Long Island, this has been an everyday occurrence. There are maybe 3 to 6 days out of the year where the sky's completely clear without a single trail. Jets do not leave horizon-to-horizon trails. You can observe this. You look up in the sky, you'll see a huge line that goes from one horizon to the other. That big contrail spreads, goes into a cloud formation, meets up with another trail, forms a complete overlayer. If you look for a period from 20 minutes to maybe 2 hours, the whole sky will be covered over in a white overlay of cirrus clouds that were all jet sprayed. The research that I found, this is a program that's run in part by NASA. It's called, there's an actual program that if you Google it, it's called the ML Cirrus program. It's run by NASA and Lufthansa and Airbus Industries that use the A340 to inhibit cirrus cloud production. The reason for doing this, because they believe this global warming, the sun, I also followed a NASA SDO, Solar Dynamics Observatory satellite, and the sun's been giving off weird radiation, X-rays, and high levels of UVs. There's something going on in the sun. There's big openings in it. There's coronal holes emitting coronal mass ejections. So I think there's something that NASA, I truly believe, is doing something. They're ionizing the atmosphere to, I hope, prevent the magnetism or detrimental effects that are being caused by the sun. Whereas everything else in life, if somebody's doing something for one purpose, somebody else will come along and find the side effects and use those to manipulate another use out of it. By changing the atmosphere moisture and by spraying different chemicals, either adding moisture or taking away moisture, you could literally navigate storm systems. You could create pressure fronts. You could create a high pressure front, a low pressure front. And over the last 18 months, I've discussed this with meteorologists, and they all hold fast that this is just a conspiracy theory, that all the climate engineering is just a proposal, and everything that's happening has been proposed, but the general consensus is it's not happening. It's just at a proposal stage and was never implemented. I'm here, and I ran into Ted in the QSO show that this is happening. It's happening every single day, and this is being run in a rogue operation. Who's running it and why, that's yet to be determined. I have a congressman that I'm working with in the 1st Congressional District of New York. His name is Lee Zeldin. He's open to the investigations that I'm doing. My call sign, W2FDD, comes from, I've spent 18 years, I work for the United States Treasury Department as a fraud investigator. So I follow the money, and I'm kind of good at what I do. So there is somebody using billions of dollars of taxpayer money to do this. And what I've learned over the years, anything done in secret can't be good. There's some kind of fraud in this. By manipulating the weather, there are weather derivatives, there are financial instruments, there are people that have inside information that could gain for this. And all this, instead of having an upfront and honest operation, somebody is looking to profit immensely from the way this is being done. And it's all being brushed aside that, you know, we're all hallucinating. I mean, I spent 18 years photographing beaches of Long Island. I've never seen clouds that look like checkerboard squares in the sky. So if somebody's going to tell me that it's always looked like this, I'm going to shrug my shoulders and go, who are you kidding?
Yeah, exactly, especially with nighttime sky. I mean, I've never been so disgusted in all my life. As a kid, you know, I always coveted a larger telescope, not the consumer, you know, small refractor that you get at Kmart or Walmart or something. I wanted something bigger. Now, an 8-inch or a 10-inch is not exactly a big telescope, but it is a little bit bigger than what you'd consider consumer grade. And, you know, I have some grandchildren, and I like to take them outside and say, hey, let's take a look at some nebula, and let's look at some deep sky objects, and let them see what it all looks like. And you can't. You can't do it because everything's all smudged up there, you know.
You're seeing halos around the moon. That halo is nanochemicals. There could be nano reflective chemicals like aluminum. The proposals are to put aluminum particles in the stratosphere at high elevations, at like 40 to 60,000 feet, and then make clouds in the troposphere at around 20 to 30,000 feet. What happens, the clouds that they're creating and the radiation absorbent, they're using barium salts. And there's also for global warming purposes. The sun is heating the earth. The earth is getting warmer and warmer. The only reason we've had the last two winters where it's been substantially very, very cold is that they're spraying this. They're spraying these chemicals into the air. They are making some compounds, as I don't have inside knowledge, but compounds very similar to barium hydroxide and ammonium nitrate. If you just Google barium hydroxide and ammonium nitrate, you will get an endothermic chemical reaction, which it gets cold and it gets very dry. We're all experiencing clouds, huge cloud covers without any rain. We've had this, it's all over the country. You have big weather systems with very little rain. And that's because they're causing endothermic reactants in the air to make it colder. There's one mandate for the United Nations that stipulates if we could only treat our own citizens as lab rats. So since NASA and since the United States is in a lead with this, guess what? We as American citizens, we get to be the guinea pigs because most of this is happening over U.S. skies, even though a lot of the spraying is worldwide. It's happening all over the world from Australia to New Zealand to places in the Middle East. But the primary experimentation with the endothermic reactions is over the United States. If you look at NASA weather maps, there's cold patterns just over North America and the Greenland ice shelf. That is another NASA project. It's called NASA Ice Bridge. The whole survival of the planet Earth depends on the ice at the poles. And part of this program, I believe, and this is my theory, that they're making these endothermic geoengineering contrails, also referred to as chemtrails, to cool the planet. They're also causing pressure systems that are adding to the ice. Over the last two winters, the ice in the Greenland ice shelf has actually grown enormous. The ice at Antarctica, at the South Pole, has doubled or tripled in size. What this causes is dispute with people who are global warming deniers. Then you get the oil industry. Bottom line with all this, and let me explain it this way. The sun heats a planet that is 70% water, and it produces the most abundant greenhouse gas on Earth, which is water vapor. Everything else is just money, whether it's solar panels for the Green Party, whether it's fossil fuels for the oil industry, they're all in this, and they all use both sides of the equation for climate, whatever suits them. Bottom line is the sun is not acting right. You could see it. It doesn't feel right. People are getting sunburns and red, and the UV indexes are high. The auroras at the poles have been enormous. This is proof that the sun is spewing out high levels of radiation that the creator and the earth managed to expel around the poles. And the radiation and all the harmful substances of the sun are causing what years ago the northern lights would just be a dim light show at the North Pole or Iceland or in Alaska. Now the northern lights look like a Pink Floyd laser light show. You have brilliant colors of pinks and reds. That's all the radiation that the sun is emitting that's getting deflected off the poles. everything is fine, and the Earth can manage deflecting the radiation where we won't necessarily burn up from it, except for one problem. The planet is kind of like a house with an old thermostat. The heat can fluctuate. As little as 3-degree fluctuation can result in disastrous events for people that live along the shore. We all live from Miami up to New York. The population of the United States is all around at sea level. So a 3-degree shift in temperature could be detrimental, could ruin the survival as we know it, and our planets and our buildings. And that's what's happening. There's a small shift, and somebody is working very, very hard to try to intercept it.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO. Our guest, Joe Smoljan, W2FED. We'll be back right after this. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right, a shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in, the aircraft band, so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in. And also, of course, a very hot shortwave. A shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out, or you can get the CC quick charger, which is a battery charger that it charges AA, AAA, CD, shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna or do you want the CC quick charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Sea Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to seacrane.com. Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEEN BEAN, theunseenbean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's theunseenbean.com. That's theunseenbean.com. Let's talk just for a moment about QSL cards. And let me tell you about Mr. QSL, call sign K4JSG. The world's finest QSL cards ever, guaranteed. Now, if you go up on this guy's website, you're going to find this note that says, please note, these are custom designed cards. If you're looking for a plain, ordinary, simple, basic, or any other word that's a synonym for boring, you'll be better off with a different card maker. Now, somebody make a statement like that, that should tell you something. The world's finest QSL cards ever guaranteed, K4JSG. Go to Google. Go to Google, put in Mr. QSL. That's Mr. QSL. The very first listing will be Mr. QSL or K4JSG.com. Here at the QSL Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website, simply QSOradioshow.com. That's QSOradioshow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website. It's simply QSOradioshow.com and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening.
The reason they're doing it rogue, what I found out, and you can interrupt me, Ted, wherever I have
a... No, I'm listening.
Ramble on, I got to break in there. But the reason it's operated rogue, and I came to the belief of this, and I'm sorry to put it this way, but the general population, for the most part, are stupid. Excuse that. Or they're ignorant, and they refuse to believe it. So it's when I took less courses in the old days, like Brian Tracy, was the 10-80-10 rule. Like 10% of the population's really bad, 10% are really good, and 80% don't give a darn. And that equation kind of fits every single thing that you do. Kind of like if you have a Boy Scout program or if you have some kind of volunteer program, that 10-80-10 rule fits all the time. You have 10% of the people who do all the work. You got 10% that don't want to be bothered and make the problems. You got 80% that just ride along. Same thing with this. So somebody came along and said, let's find a way to circumvent this and not have to answer to anybody. So this is geoengineering. It's a program that they elevated to the levels, and it's being governed by the United Nations. This circumvents that the EPA, the FAA, they have no jurisdiction who does this and who operates it. So basically, we as United States citizens, you don't have a call of who runs what in your skies. This has been confirmed by the chief of FAA flight standards at Republic Airport in Region 2, New York. I made good friends with the chief of flight standards, and he educated me on how the FAA operates. On any given day, there's 6,500 to 7,000 flights in the air at any given time. On Long Island, New York, this is New York City approach, one of the busiest airspaces on Earth. The FAA personnel, they're just busy keeping planes from crashing into each other to be aware of what's in the air. They have certain parameters, and this is public information that I found out. It's if it's over 18,000 feet or 30 miles from an airport, these aircraft don't have to transpond anything to FAA personnel. And a lot of these sprayers that I found out on Long Island, these are KC-767 sprayers. They're inline refuelers. They're built on a body of a 767 Boeing. They have windows on the side because they could transport personnel. And they have a mixture of JP-8, also known as NATO 34 jet fuel, which makes clouds.
I've seen some pictures on the internet, and I was when I looked at the pictures, I thought, what? It looked like an airplane on the inside with the seats removed, a bunch of plumbing and whatnot, and then these things that look like beer kegs on the inside, and that was supposed to be, or what they said was a plane outfitted for spraying. But then someone else said, no, those beer kegs or something else, and I don't know. But the pictures looked very convincing. I mean, the pictures were like, you know, it's like, whoa, look at this.
A lot of this was tested. This testing goes back to 1998. So they tried different delivery systems. A lot of those pictures that you're referring to, they are actually different spray patterns. Some of them are actually test photos by Ballas. So the problem I have, which the way I'm handling this, the way I'm investigating this, I have two groups of people. I have disinformation people that are actually hired by military subcontractors that are doing this to go on the internet and tell people, oh, you people are just crazy. These are ballasts, what they use to test weights on airplanes. And these are just... But if you look at those photographs that you're referring to, those ballasts have three or four different variations. I mean, if you're going to have Boeing test ballasts, they're going to be uniform, correct?
I would
you're
think
not
so.
You're going to have three or four different variations in ballast tanks. And you're not going to have different feeds on them. You're just going to have one where they transfer the volume in one tank to the other. You're not going to have six or seven different lines feeding different inputs. So, but the problem with this is you have a lot of people in that get very frustrated. They mean well in the conspiracy theorist community that they find a leaked photograph or they take a photograph that actually a disinformation person has. But, for example, if a photographer hired by Boeing takes a photograph of the internal workings, and if somebody else uses it on the internet and strips out all the copyright information and says that picture is something else, it's deceiving. And that's hurting the geoengineering, the chemtrail community, more than it's helping it. There are a couple of activists that are kind of loony. They do stupid stuff like that, and they lose all credibility where they have viable information. But you could just present the photograph and credit it appropriately and say, this is XYZ taken by such and such a person at such and such a facility. They claim that it's this, but actually it's not. And that would be totally acceptable. Why people aren't upfront and honest like that, I don't understand. And that's causing some of the problem in this. And also, what I don't agree with, what I'm finding out is there's like us and them mentality. If you believe in certain conspiracy theories, you got to go kit and caboodle and jump full force into the whole spectrum of conspiracy theories. And I find myself between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I work for the United States government. I'm ex-military. I'm vaccinated. I eat a few GMO cookies. But I believe in geoengineering taking place, and climate engineering is in full operation. But then you got the other side of people in the conspiracies, that they'll battle everything from September 11th conspiracies to GMOs to even crazy stuff like, you know, this is all a big conspiracy, the world is run by reptilians, and the planet Earth is flat. So you don't know where to put the stops on the conspiracy theories. The reason, and I swear, Ted, and thank you for this time, that we don't get anywhere with this, is that like my congressman, if I went up to him and actually told him, you know, Lee, I think the world is being run by a reptilian elite, and, you know, the planet's Earth is flat, and, you know, NASA and satellites, it's all a conspiracy, and you got to help me. And, you know, my congressman.
And as a matter of fact, we never went to the moon. Well, that drew some silence. I was just adding to your list. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right. A shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice, an FM stereo built in. The aircraft band, so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in. And also, of course, a very hot shortwave. A shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out. Or you can get the CC Quick Charger, which is a battery charger. It charges AA, AAA, CD. Shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna, or do you want the CC Quick Charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on a big, powerful shortwave radio station, they just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This Skywave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Sea Crane Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to seacrane.com.
Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com.
Let's talk just for a moment about QSL cards. And let me tell you about Mr. QSL, call sign K4JSG. The world's finest QSL cards ever, guaranteed. Now, if you go up on this guy's website, you're going to find this note that says, please note, these are custom designed cards. If you're looking for a plain, ordinary, simple, basic, or any other word that's a synonym for boring, you'll be better off with a different card maker. Now, somebody make a statement like that, that should tell you something. The world's finest QSL cards ever, guaranteed, K4JSG. Go to Google, put in Mr. QSL. That's Mr. QSL. The very first listing will be Mr. QSL or K4JSG.com. Here at the QSL Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website, simply QSOradioshow.com. That's QSOradioshow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website, it's simply QSOradioshow.com, and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO. And now back to our guest, Joe Smolgen, W2FED.
Yeah, where do you stand on that? Let's talk.
Well, I don't know. I think that I have to believe we went to the moon, okay? And the only reason why is because there were so many hams monitoring the activities up there. So, it's a little difficult to deny the movement and all that kind of thing that went on with the spacecraft and the landing and all that kind of thing. Is it possible we didn't go? Of course it's possible. But I don't think it's probable. I mean, it just doesn't.
You want to hear my theory?
Sure, I'd love to.
What causes a monkey wrench in the works? We went to the moon. We didn't fake Apollo 11, 12, 14, 15, 16, and 17. 13, you know what happened. I guess everybody saw the movie. That wasn't a lunar landing. So we did go to the moon, except with the Apollo 11. And any ham out there who traveled back in the 70s and early 80s, you know when you went on vacation and you took certain film through the X-ray machine, what happened to your film?
Got messed up.
It got fogged from the X-rays, correct?
Yep.
So here we go. NASA goes, we have this big mission, the Van Allen belts, heavy-duty radiation. We went to the moon. Apollo 11 was a true mission. But guess what? And this is my God's honest belief. Somebody, the film got messed up. So somebody at NASA said, hey, let's reshoot this. So here's my theory, according to Joe Smolder and W2FED. We went to the moon. Apollo 11 was an absolute mission that did exist. Except the film got fogged from the mission. So somebody had the bright idea, let's reshoot this. Over the years, somehow the reshot film got mixed up. That's why where you find certain things like prop rocks, you know, everybody in the conspiracy circles knows the big C, that this is a prop rock that was photographed. So whether that film, plus you have training material, so this might have not been somebody to pull off a fast one. Because all the engineers that I'm friends with, everybody who's in a space program, this doesn't just happen. Every single move is rehearsed and trained hundreds of times over. So if some training film got into circulation, or if somebody wanted to reshoot a better version of the Apollo 11 landing, by using that, because nobody's honest in this world, and believe me, you know, even a federal government, that I've learned, and I'll tell you a story if time permitting, where the truth in certain things is unacceptable.
Oh, that's not hard to believe. Believe me, not in this world. But let me shift gears on you here just a little bit. You know, because we're talking about the lunar landing, and you know, were we really there and whatnot. I guess the thing that bugs me the most about the whole thing is the fact that sometimes I think these things are created as smokescreens. In other words, there's something else going on that they don't want you to know. So we introduce the smokescreen of we never went to the moon. And we get people arguing back and forth over it when the real issue is so close to what we're talking about, but yet we'll never land on it because we're too busy talking about whether we went or whether we didn't. So, I mean, I remember Wayne Green. I had Wayne on a show, and he was absolutely emphatic about the fact that we never went to the moon, you know. And he believed that. He really did, you know. But then I step back and look at it from a standpoint. Let's look at the bigger picture. What's being concealed here? Why do we have this issue to even start with? You know, and you're talking about misinformation and misdirection and all those things that are going on. And I happen to believe that stuff does go on. But what do you think about that?
Ted, the whole basis behind this is that the religion, we're infiltrated by radical Muslim operatives operating out of Qatar and operating out of Saudi Arabia. There's people that they want to pass the disinformation that the earth is flat, because that's what it says in Islam. And there's radical clerics in India with my ham contacts that I communicate with causing problems. And the infiltration to all this, it also goes back to September 11th, because you take 19 Saudi terrorists, and all of a sudden, over the years, that September 11th itself is a conspiracy that was done by George Bush and the United States government and the CIA. And somehow, you know, it just gets spun completely around. So now you want to take the general population where we've become, I believe, as a result of September 11th, the great Satan, like everybody said we were. That was the Pandora's box. I honestly swear to God, believe we didn't cause. September 11th wasn't a false flag, wasn't operated by U.S. intelligence, but it opened the door to make us everything that we are. And we got taken hook, line, and sinker. We gave up our freedoms. The Patriot Act got passed with just three senators, I believe, didn't sign the U.S. Patriot Act. We got all taken hook, line, and sinker. We gave up all our freedoms. And the politicians at that time, in October of 2001, used the events of 2001, of September 11th, and did what they're currently doing now. I don't think that was the cause of it. But as a result of all that, in a world, how do you fight the biggest superpower with, you know, we have some wonderful toys from Ronald Reagan era. You can't. So what do? You hire a bunch of disinformation people and you put them all over the web. You have people, Saudi intelligence, people operating out of Qatar, people operating that are pulling strings. But even Alex Jones is a controlled opposition. David Icke. And what are they doing? Bash, bash, bash. Pay attention. Just don't listen to me. Just step back and look what's going on. I'm not a Bible toter, no offense to the other transmitters in this radio show. I have a personal relationship. I'm very spiritual, but as far as established religions, I have my boundaries, so to speak. But if you look back, it's like we're being taught in our generation for the last 13, 14 years is walk away from Christianity, don't trust the Catholic Church, don't trust your parents, don't trust the United States government, NASA is a hoax, we never landed on the moon, the earth is flat, and, you know, just make your brain mush, 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 mush. This is a concentrated effort by an infiltration. The refugee crisis we are currently seeing happening is part of this. This is a 1,300-year battle of the Crusades that we are witnessing now. This is the battle between Christianity and Islam that's been going on for 1,300 years. And this whole thing of don't trust anybody in the government, don't trust the lunar landings, don't trust NASA, this is an infiltration. And it's like everybody... And the blame for this is people within the United States government pulled off so much crap over the years, so much lack of integrity. My honest belief was that if we kept the word to the Mujahideen in Afghanistan when they were at war with the Russians, we would have never had to experience September 11th, except there was an administration change. We, like, totally let Afghanistan go down the toilet. And when the Taliban took off and when they started executing people in public arenas, there was a whole generation, 10 years of people that suffered miserable consequences because the United States promised the Afghan people a whole bill of goods. And when the USSR fell apart and pulled out of Afghanistan, we abandoned the people of Afghanistan and we turned on our word and we let the whole world down. So our whole misery that we're going through can be traced back to 1979, 1980 with this. Because if somebody had kept their word, if somebody had been upright, honest, and had the integrity, and if we would have never let the Afghan people down, we would have never been in this position in this current day and age. And the problem with this, from, I know now we're going from chemtrails to a whole different world, this whole thing with the war in Iraq and with the current situation with ISIS, we created that because we took the people out who kept this crazy world in check. People like Muammar Gaddafi and people like Saddam Hussein, we went and we thought we'd liberate a bunch of people that turned to be savages. Throughout history, I've lived this. I've seen this in Cambodia, where the Khmer Rouge took over the people and killed half their population. Because that's what we are as human beings. We're very violent. We're vicious animals. And this is how we react. This is what we did in Cambodia. This is what we did in Rwanda. This is what we did in Sudan. This is what we did in Bosnia. This is what we do in Kosovo.
Well, I was going to say, you are quite a little ways away from chemtrails. not that this isn't worth talking about.
You got me all passionate.
Let me ask a question. Getting back to chemtrails, let's get back on that because that was where we started, and this is something that I think that folks are curious about. What about symptoms and health symptoms? I mean, I hear it blown around that the chemtrails are causing a lot of people physical problems, respiratory problems, and whatnot. Is there any truth to that? Have you heard anything about that?
The CDC put lower respiratory ailments into the number three spot. It surpassed stroke, so there's your answer. People are dying from breathing the air as the side effects.
Well, isn't that, I guess I'm going to say, you know, if you sample the air, can you see these chemicals? I mean, are they there present with a, like if you did a, took a Matheson gas tester or something and pulled a sample here and there, could you not see these things?
They have people that they went and then they took actual chemical exposure. And the chemicals that always come up are barium, strontium, and dimethyl sulfur oxide, sulfuric acids out of the sky. That has been done. The thing is, it's always been disputed. Like, where'd you collect the water samples? I mean, collecting the sky, the problem we have is we have to rely on the people doing the testing that are doing the spraying. The thing that on August 11th of 2015, there was a whole bunch of testimony by people that are leaders. There's a gentleman called by Jim Lee, Patrick Roddy from San Francisco. These are all prominent people in the geoengineering fight. And they actually went to the EPA and gave testimony about the chemicals in the pollution in causing these clouds. So they took a step further. Instead of saying, like, we don't really know what's in the chemicals because we don't have the test equipment to test the air, but we know the effects of the people. And people in California that have been testing, they test for high levels of metals in their blood. They test for high levels of barium and strontium and different chemicals that are all associated with what's in these chemtrails.
Well, I guess I was, I remember a long time ago there was a problem with mobile homes and formaldehyde, okay? And there was problems with certain types of pressed plywood and fiberboard containing formaldehyde. The stuff would leak out after after the mobile home was constructed and then people moved in, and then this stuff would be slowly leaking out into the air. And then the folks would become, the folks would become sensitized to all kinds of things. They couldn't wear certain types of synthetic clothing, and it just sensitized the daylights out of them to all sorts of stuff. Okay, so now my question is as those folks realized this, they brought in these little gas detectors, and you could actually pull an air sample in a room, and there was a little glass tube, and it would immediately show you if you had the presence of formaldehyde or whatever. So I guess I was wondering, right on the ground where we eat, think, breathe, and all that, if we were to pull air samples out of our backyards on a regular basis, wouldn't we or shouldn't we be able to see these chemicals? And if they're there, would it not then be actionable? In other words, you could say, well, we don't know who's doing this, you know. I think that there would have to be a way. There would have to be a way to identify an airplane going over, putting out billowing clouds of smoke, and then, you know, I guess I want to say tracing that airplane as to who owns it, who's contracted to do this. And you take the air samples you've pulled on the ground, you know, and there's got to be some sort of a class actionable thing where you could just sue the pants off these people.
But that's the problem. Where do you file suit if you have an entity that doesn't exist? That's where this is becoming such a big secret. It's like there's loads of people that like to sue somebody. They've pulled samples. They pulled water samples. They found samples that are in high metals and oxides, and they match everything to the proposals and strontium levels and barium levels. And they have that. The evidence is there. But correlating the two, is, I mean, if we take it from a common sense point of view, never mind the legality of it, look at the trees that you see around your property. I'm looking at trees, and all my foliage is half the growth that it normally is. The leaves are tiny. There's very sparse. There's, like, big areas of trees that are just turning brown and dying. This is happening all over the country. I mean, so where you want to, like, tie in certain kind of chemicals, the problem with that is when you do identify it, there are samples, there are water samples that are taken, there are air samples, and there's people that said, hey, this, we're being poisoned, and here they are. Here comes the disinformation where, oh, these, you know, it's caused by the particles in the air, the aerosols, they're called the volcanoes. So you have a volcanic eruption in Southeast Asia. Yes, that's causing high levels of soot in the air that's affecting the trees in Long Island. That's nonsense. We have on Long Island in the last 2 months multiple ozone alerts. There are no coal-burning plants. There are no smog levels. Ozone is caused by ground-level smog. By trucks. Manhattan, maybe. Not on Long Island. This is pristine currents. There's nothing here. There's not enough traffic to cause ozone alerts. The ozone alerts are coming from the sky. The disinformation comes in. We had, remember the EV68 virus, the respiratory virus last year, that people were getting hospitalized, and there's infants that are having, like, real severe respiratory ailments. So all of a sudden, there's a virus that's been dormant since, like, 1968, that, oh, all of a sudden it's the EV68 virus. Or now there's another virus. There's another current pulmonary virus that's they're issuing. And now they're pushing pneumococcal pneumonia injections along with your flu shots. There's something going on because the CDC is pushing vaccines and pushing injections. You know, I've seen Walgreens advertise flu shots since June.
Well, let me ask you a question. Would you trust these vaccines?
You know what? I'm starting to believe that some of these vaccines, like the pneumococcal pneumonia and the flu vaccine, might actually have antibodies to help fight this.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO. Our guest, Joe Smoljan, W2FED. We'll be back right after this. How about a very, very selective and very sensitive portable shortwave radio that you can fit in the palm of your hand? That's right. A shortwave radio that's got also a very hot AM section on it, picking up distant AM stations that you wouldn't know were there. An FM receiver that's really nice. An FM stereo built in. The aircraft band, so you can listen to the control tower and the pilots coming in. And also, of course, a very hot shortwave. A shortwave receiver that receives from 2.3 to 26 megahertz continuous with variable audio bandwidth switching. How about also NOAA weather included on this radio? That's right. You can hold it in the palm of your hand. It's not much bigger than a pack of cigarettes. It's called the SkyWave. We've been talking about this. And if you're a shortwave listener, you just can't live without one of these things. 400 memories. It comes with the power adapter, the earbuds. It's got a USB connector on the side for charging batteries, and it'll go 60, 70 hours on a pair of AA batteries. Is this all true? Yes, it is. We've accused Bob Crane of using voodoo to create this radio. Why don't you give the Sea Crane Company a call? But before you do, mention WTWW, and you'll get the free retractable shortwave antenna that you can attach to the radio through a jack on the side and extend the antenna way out, or you can get the CC quick charger, which is a battery charger that it charges AA, AAA, CD, shows you the status of the battery, shuts off automatically when it's fully charged, and you can charge all your USB devices with this thing, including your cell phone. That can be free as well. It depends on what you want. Do you want the antenna or do you want the CC quick charger? All you got to do is mention WTWW. Now, why is that important? Because the folks at Sea Crane want to know where the orders are coming from, because they're the ones that's bringing you the Art Bell Show on shortwave. And for them to continue this effort of this wonderful thing of midnight in the desert on
a big, powerful shortwave radio station. They just want to know that you're patronizing them by ordering your shortwave radios from them. This SkyWave is unbelievable. You can get a hold of the Seat Crank Company by dialing 1-800-522-TUNE. That's 1-800-522-TUNE or 1-800-522-8863. It's 1-800-522-8863. And mention WTWW. Or you can simply go to SeatCrane.com. Is it possible that a coffee roaster who has been blind from birth could make the best tasting coffee in the world? Well, I'm here to tell you that not only is it possible, but it's true. If you would like the most delightful, rich cup of coffee you have ever drank in your life, I'd like to invite you to visit the website of The Unseen Bean. That's The Unseen Bean, UNSEENBEAN. TheUnseenBean.com. Jerry Leary, amateur radio operator, shortwave listener, he is the owner of The Unseen Bean, one of the country's few blind coffee roasters. You will love his coffee. We want to invite you once again, go to his website, and that's TheUnseenBean.com. That's TheUnseenBean.com. Here at the QSO Radio Show, we really need to hear from you. Go to our website. Simply QSORadioshow.com. That's QSORadioshow.com. And you'll see all the past podcasts up there and other information. But go to the part where it says email Ted and send us an email. And be sure and put on that email, I want to win, because always giving something away. Go to the website. It's simply QSORadioshow.com and send us an email. And while you're at it, be sure and friend us on Facebook, QSO Radio Show, and follow us on Twitter, QSO Radio Show. And thank you for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to QSO. And now back to our guest, Joe Smulgen, W2FED. Oh, I was wondering, because I thought, you know, if the vaccines are being developed, let's say, by the government, would the government not, would they not create something or add something in to offset the effects of the chemical sprays that are irritating and causing all the other problems? It just seems
honestly,
to me.
I think the pneumococcal pneumonia vaccines, I think the Hep vaccines, and I think the flu vaccines could possibly have something in them. The problem where it gets exasperated that the people that are fighting the chemtrails, they're all, say, anti-vaxxers, so they don't trust the government.
Yeah.
So now you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. The government, this is my belief, Ted, and this is where you have, like, an average person. I don't fit the mold with this, because I believe they're spraying whatever it is spraying for this geoengineering. In fact, there's multiple it's not just one reason they're spraying. There are multiple projects in this. But one project is, we are in a dire situation that I've even had my supervisors at work say, you know, you're going to instill a panic in people. The Fukushima radiation on the West Coast is exorbitant high amounts. The sun is spewing out X-rays and radiation in unnatural amounts. There's something going on. We're not, you know, we're in a very precarious existence as humans on planet Earth. And as much as I love, where we go back to the beginning, the space program, and as much as I love astronauts like Ron Garan, I can't face that these people that love planet Earth as much as NASA astronauts would do anything to ruin it. I think the side effects, and I think all the detrimental effects are caused because this needs to be done. And they're doing it, I wholeheartedly believe, and when I see all the spraying in the sky, and then I check my SDO and see that the sun's the electromagnetic rays are, like, off the charts on a NOAA space weather. And you look at the ionosphere, what's it, NW7, the space weather program for the ionosphere? The ionosphere has been black. You usually have during the day that layer D gets affected. There's weird stuff happening to the ionosphere itself with this magnetism that the sun's putting off. So whatever they're spraying up there that you can't see with all your Dobson telescopes, this all radiance from these nanoparticles. Aluminum is not a magnetic metal. So you get enough aluminum there, it's going to counteract the magnetism that's being caused by some effect. If the sun's spewing out magnetic waves, it's going to cause an electric magnetic pulse and wipe out communication or wipe out a whole thing. Somebody's actually looking to build a shield, whether it's an artificial ionosphere. You could see it on a communication that's doing it. So I think somebody's doing this to save us. And, you know, people call me, they say I'm brainwashed because I'm military. So I, you know, went through an MK Ultra program where I actually believe somebody at the CDC, and yes, some of these vaccines, they're probably trying to save us. But where people turn around and go, I don't trust any vaccines, it's ludicrous. I mean, granted, everything with a grain of salt, like Donald Trump said the other night, I believe in vaccines, but I also believe in greed in the medical industry pushing too much of them. There's vaccines that are getting marketed. There's medications that are being run without research and development. There's the pharmaceutical companies. I don't trust that. But you got to find a fine line. Polio vaccines, MMR, these are important. These are deadly diseases that are starting to find their way into the population. Now, you know, like polio has been eradicated. Now you got to have a whole bunch of people that don't believe anything anymore. They don't trust the government. They don't trust any vaccines. And they feel like, oh, we have an immune system. This is insane. You know, immune system against what? Polio? An immune system against smallpox? Now we get back to where we had the conversation with the lunar landing that, for whatever reason, now we don't believe anything anymore. Now we brush it all aside.
I can see.
It's a very dangerous position we're in.
I can see right now that you are a misinformation person. You have been sent here to give us all this.
I work for the government. Yeah. That's my job. So I'm on the clock right now, correct?
There you go. Well, you know, it's true, though. I mean, I hear, no, I, you know, common sense, I don't know. Maybe it's not common sense. I don't know what it is. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, I get exposed to folks who are, you know, I know someone right now that I gave a Wi-Fi radio to so that they could listen to online radio stations, and they won't plug it in because they're afraid that the government is monitoring them through that Wi-Fi radio. I mean, have you ever heard of such a thing? I mean, yes.
Sure. There's people that think the government controls the general population through cell towers. There are a few activists that are referring to cell communication towers as death towers. The government is using frequencies. You know, now on Long Island, the speed limit here is 55 miles an hour. I'll record a video for you. I take care of my mother-in-law who lives in the city, and I commute back and forth 55 miles in, 55 miles back every Saturday to take my mother-in-law shopping. There's nobody on the Long Island Expressway that does the speed limit. Out of the thousands of people, there's maybe three or four people that will drive within 9 or 10 miles over the speed limit. Everybody drives 80 or 90 miles an hour, and everybody passes on the right, and everybody drives like a lunatic. And you know what? Whenever the cops pull all these people over, and whether they're driving drunk, whether they're driving under narcotics, or whether they're driving like a bunch of lunatics, you know what their excuse is? The government's doing it. They're doing it through cell communication towers.
Well, you know,
You know what my argument for that is? How come it's not working on me? How come it's not working on my family? How come it's not working on my wife? And there are people that think that the government will Wi-Fi. These people are nuts, and that's all part of the disinformation. It's like going back in the 20s, people that would be afraid of indoor plumbing and electricity. They're afraid of Wi-Fi and cell communications. Granted, any kind of RF power in high frequencies or high, you know, very close proximity and at high levels is probably not safe. But, you know, there's people that like cell towers. Now, I get into this argument all the time with people in the conspiracy theory, because when you fight chemtrails, you got to buy all the conspiracy theories together, like the Wi-Fi and the cell towers, because if you don't buy it, then you're one of them. Since I work for the federal government, like you said, you joked around, but this is how I get dismissed. Oh, you're an implant. You're ex-military. You work for the government, so I forget that, we had that seminar that we all get taken into a room, a big auditorium. We get exposed to every conspiracy theory on Earth, from aliens to Area 51 to Bigfoot. You know, it's ludicrous. There's 800,000 people in the United States federal government. There are, like you and I, there are people that have families. They have people that have hopes and dreams. They have people that have outside jobs and outside aspirations and artistic talents, and they're writers and they're photographers and they're radio broadcast personnel and they're comedians. And whenever somebody dismisses somebody in that 800,000 member family and saying, oh, you're one of them, you're all brainwashed, because it doesn't fit, is ludicrous. I mean, I have people that point, they post a picture of a communications tower. My wife laughs when we, drive to the city, because she'll point out a tower, and she jokes with me, and she goes, oh, look, a death tower. And I'll call out all the frequencies. I go, well, that's probably a firehouse, because there's a VHF antenna there, and there's a couple 23 gigahertz that are peer-to-peer that are doing some kind of emergency communications. There's the cell reflectors, and I call out most of the frequencies out of the towers. And sure enough, when we pass the building, wherever, my wife will laugh, because you know what? It's an ambulance facility, or if it's a firehouse, it's something. But the people in the conspiracy, they won't buy that. Oh, you're one of them. They, look at cell towers and have a phone and go, oh, this tower doesn't have any service. That's because it's not a cell tower, or there's, 10 different companies that have different reflectors. I mean, there are HARP is a viable program. There are Gwen towers. There are radio frequencies that can. There are mind experiences. But you got to segment what's what. And not every, sometimes a cell communication tower is a cell communication tower, or communications, not just cell, VHF, UHF, and microwaves for peer-to-peer. Sometimes an X-RAD is just that. You can't manipulate the weather. But you also have fraudsters in this business, which makes it really rough. You got people that thrive on this, that make a living at it. You got people like Dutch Sense that show you an X-RAD and go, oh, look, because the towers, when they send a signal out and to read a storm, look, they're modifying the storm. You can't modify a storm with 300 to 1,200 watts of power. And if there is any kind of weather modification by frequencies, it's not being done by NEXRAD. It's being done by low-orbit satellite and crossed lasers.
Well, it's
communications.
Yeah, it's like this. You know, radio engineer all my life, okay? And there's been photographs taken, say, for example, of UFOs near a radio tower. And the first thing you hear some idiot say, they're drawing the energy off the tower so they can run their spaceship. And I'm like, you don't even want to react to it. I mean, it's kind of like just, this is, can I please help you with your stupid here just for a minute and tell you why that's not even possible, They're going to draw the energy. First off, most 100,000-watt FM stations are running maybe a 20-kilowatt transmitter, okay? And the 20,000 watts of energy that's coming out of that transmitter is going up 3-inch copper line up to a 10-bay antenna or something like that, And it's just the whole thing. I mean, just totally, completely ludicrous. But it's totally conceivable in the minds of those folks that embrace it. Oh, they're drawing energy, Well, then why wouldn't they draw energy off of big power lines where you've got millions of volts and, hundreds of thousands of amps of current? Why wouldn't they go somewhere like that? Why would they pick on a radio tower? With FM, you understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's just such an absurd thing.
I totally understand. And that's where, this chemtrails and in the community, I have you're on my group. I have a Facebook group that I call Geoengineering Commando. And it's basically common sense people that buy that the Earth is round, that NASA satellites are good and exist, And despite what they feel about the lunar landings, that NASA for 99% is accurate, that the Earth is round and the satellites orbit around the Earth, and, you know, this is communication towers and this is NEXRAD, and even though this technology exists. So I have a small group of people that actually, what I like to call is common sense people. Out of all the people in that group, my congressman monitors that group from time to time. Now, he's in a position where he will never come out as of now and say, I believe in chemtrails and geoengineering. He's not saying they don't exist either. And I'm not pushing the issue. I'm not going to put him on the spot. Because according to now, according to official beliefs, the science community says that these are just clouds. And despite what the side effects might be, they are clouds. And there's more pressing situations on Earth, like the refugee crisis, ISIS, and so forth, than to worry about clouds. That is my congressman's official stance on this. There are other pressing matters for national security. I'm not really worried about clouds at this particular moment. And that's like between him and I. But what really makes this difficult is when we try to go and take this on an official level, like you just mentioned, there's lunatics that believe everything under the sun. And like I said, where does this stop? And the problem, the biggest problem I have, and I know who the disinformations are. There's companies like DynCorp out there. There's L3 Communications. There's people that have disinformation agents that sit on a phone and just, you know, spread nonsense. And there's foreign intelligence that does the same thing. And then you have, I know who they are, and I kind of know how they operate. But then you have these fringe people that, you know, are like, and this is, Ted, please forgive me, but I'm going to come out everything clean with this. You got a bunch of pothead stoners, people in their 50s and 60s who, you know, like to smoke up a joint and just come up with, like, all this weird stuff. I mean, I went through this stuff when I was 17 in high school. I can't believe some of this stuff. And some of these people, when you listen, like you just said, oh, the government controls our minds through cell towers. You know what it is? It's an excuse for everybody who doesn't have any self-control, and I'd love to use that. You know, it's like, this is great. It's the old, the devil made me do it. Now the cell towers. You know, you go mess around on your wife, you go do stupid things, you spend all your money on some floozy, and then what? Oh, the government did it. They, like, programmed my mind through cell phones. I'm an MKUltra victim. It's just nonsense. It's personal responsibility where this is an excuse. This is the whole faith of the problem, going back to where we offstep about political issues and about it's just being honest, and it's mainly being honest with yourself, because the worst liar is a liar who believes his own lies. And that's what we become, whether it's the government doing it, whether it's each individual, whether it's you looking in the mirror and going, it's everybody else's fault and the government's doing this. I mean, we're in a world that there is an awful lot of unexplained stuff. There is a lot of projects. There are a lot of companies that agree they're looking to manufacture pills and they're looking to sell you poison just so they could hook you. And but we have free will and we have intelligence that we can navigate through this world and make the right decisions. Just when we get into this, like with the fight, like you said, with the vaccines, when you don't believe anything, and it gets to the point, well, what do you believe? You know, you need to do something.
Well, yeah, this enters into the arena of foods. And like, for example, I remember when I was much younger, I spent quite a little bit of time in movie theaters, okay? And it was related to the business that we were doing at the time. But, I was addicted to popcorn made with coconut oil, you know? And I remember people saying, oh, that's horrible. I mean, you realize, you know, that's a heart attack waiting to happen. This coconut oil is the worst thing in the world, okay? Now the I guess I want to say the most respected cardiologists are saying coconut oil is good for you, okay? All right? And I just got done reading an article that if you take rice and cook it in coconut oil and then put it in the refrigerator for 8 to 12 hours, it actually blocks the carbohydrates or whatever so that it's it's like half the calories. It's really not half the calories, but it's as if you were eating half the calories. You know, and then they put coconut oil in capsules, and they do all these things. So now, you know, I remember reading where, you know, coffee is just terrible, all the chemicals that are in it, and you shouldn't be drinking it and all that. Another article comes out in a medical journal that says that, you know, coffee is a good thing for cardiac patients in moderation. You know, red wine is good for cardiac patients in moderation, but then, you know, and it switches. I mean, it's like you pick up one article and it says that the coconut oil is good. Another article says it's, you know, it's horrible, the worst thing in the world. So it's like this whole thing of what do you believe? You know, I mean, do you discount everything? Because if you look close enough, there's not a food on the planet that won't kill you, according to Dr. Internet, if that makes any sense.
That makes total sense. And, you know, even organic foods that they press, organic foods are made with pesticides, whether they consider them organic. You know, uranium is considered organic because it comes out of the ground. It's not any carbon-related is an organic substance. So, you know, organic things aren't necessarily bad. GMOs have a wide range. Now, certain, like the corns that are Monsanto corns that explode in rodent stomachs, I wouldn't feed that to my kids. I wouldn't eat that to myself. But a hybrid tomato that's genetically modified, I mean, the scope of what class comes under genetic modification is so broad that you got to find a happy median in between. And the disinformation, I always dreamed, like, I love the technology age. I mean, when I did photojournalism, I was a photographer when I was 23, 24 years old. I used to have to get my film to the airport, to get it to New York, to get it to Newsweek, to get it in print. Now, I could be in the middle of nowhere, produce a digital image, send it on the internet. It could be in print in less than 30 seconds. In my lifetime, you can't believe what enormous strides we took in technology. But the flip side of that, now, even communications, like you watch CNN, a lot of these conspiracy buffs, the mainstream media is, we sold out. You know, everything's a story and everything's money behind it. Case in point, like the stuff in Ferguson. What I do, I watch Fox, I watch CNN, and I listen to police scanner frequencies. And that's how I get what's actually going on. Because CNN will spin it in one direction, Fox will spin it another one, and you'll get realistically what is actually going on by the police frequencies, by what actually the police calls are coming through. Same thing with what's going on in the world. A lot of the stuff, and this goes back to being a ham operator, it's wonderful. Ham operators are short, concise, honest to get a report. There's weather modification going on. In Oman, we had an incident. There's a typhoon that hit Oman, caused tremendous flooding, never in history. On Echolink, I got an operator, a ham operator in Oman, who gave me the whole, you know, concise, accurate story of what this typhoon caused. Now, what caused it? Was it part of a weapons program that's being developed? I don't know, but getting an accurate story where CNN or report, they don't even, I never heard anything about this typhoon mentioned in Oman. Maybe in the New York Times on page 30, there'd be a little tiny paragraph.
Let me just stop you here for a second. Here's something that I find really interesting, and that is I listen to shortwave. Why? I don't know. I just love shortwave radio, okay? And one of the things I really enjoy doing is catching the news when it comes on any shortwave facility, if it's in English. Of course, if it's not in English, I can't understand it. So, but anyways, hearing a newscast come in, and I mean, it doesn't necessarily, doesn't have to do with any countries in specific. I'm talking about just a newscast that could be coming in from French radio. It could be coming in from Radio Nederland or wherever it's coming in from. And I'm not a real buff on recognizing all the different shortwave facilities, okay? So I just tune in, and I whenever I find something, half the time I don't even know what I'm listening to, okay? But I'm listening. And it's coming from overseas. It's coming from inside of a
of a foreign government, okay? And they give you the scoop. They tell you what's happening. They tell you how it went down, and they report on it completely. Now, I come back, and I tune it in on our, I hear the same story on national television here, or on radio, if you're happening to be lucky enough to catch news on radio today. And the story's totally different, completely different, totally different perspective. And, you know, as they say, you know, most of the time when you hear conflicting stories, the truth, you know, lies somewhere in the middle. But it's kind of let me think in terms of who's spinning the stuff. Is there somebody spinning it, or can we trust our news media to be accurate and straightforward? The problem I have is this. The United States government, for the most part, from what I've been able to see, are probably the most accomplished group of people in terms of screwing things up, okay? Now, I'm not talking about ill-conceived plans. I'm just talking about they just can't execute plans very well, you know? So can you imagine, all right, now, some government agency is supposed to be monitoring all the telephones on Long Island, okay? Have you ever in your life ever been involved in any kind of surveillance at all? I mean, like recording a telephone that gets picked up and calls are placed and calls are received. And you know, I mean, it takes hours to monitor a telephone. I mean, and I know they've got computers that supposedly find certain phrases. But even then, my God, you know, we talk about something boring, you know. You're monitoring, and all of a sudden, this guy's calling his wife on the cell phone. Well, should I pick up some bread, or are we out on milk? I mean, who the heck's got the patience? I mean, people have got to be out of their minds if they actually believe that the United States government is monitoring everybody's telephone calls. My God, they can't even run the IRS in a competent manner, you know. Everything that the government gets into, you know, they're human beings. They make mistakes. And I think that inside the government, there's very little incentive given to the people that work there. So if they have a lot of vision and a lot of energy and all that, it has to come from within them, because they're not going to get motivated, you know, working for the U.S. government. It's just not going to happen. So when I add all these things together, I understand what you're saying, but I also find it difficult to believe a lot of the conspiracy stuff, because it would take the government to an intellectual level that they don't exist in. I guess that's my way of looking at it. Now, do you think I'm all wet in that?
You're exactly on point with that. That's exactly how this is. It's so segmented to the point. And the funny thing is that FAA flight standards chief, when I first called them about airplanes, at that time they were spraying these chemtrails doing barrel rolls in the air, which I thought was a dangerous maneuver. So I'll make it really brief. But when I called up, and I introduced myself, and I said, you know, I work for the federal government. I do work as fraud investigations. This is unrelated, but I think, you know, this, you know, we're kind of like on the same team, so to speak. So then I get the old, you know, story that, oh, our records don't indicate anything. Now, after finding out, investigating, I find out that the FAA scrubs all their records after 2 weeks because there's so much information that unless there's something earmarked or red flagged, it all gets scrubbed. By the time I got through to who I needed to initially file my complaint with, it was after that 2 week period. So my attitude was, being the maverick that I am, I said, you people are really snowing me, because this is what I learned, that you scrubbed the records. So just because you don't have this information on file doesn't mean that your information doesn't collaborate what I'm saying. It just means it doesn't exist anymore. The second time when he sprayed us, pulled a barrel roll, I caught him on a phony transponder anti-avoidance signal. I filed a complaint immediately, and I got some action. By these sprayers doing this, they caused a crash, a single-engine crash, because on radar, these planes show up. They use phony identifiers like little Cessna airplanes, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes this huge two-engine jet. And it caused a crash. So I filed an NTSB complaint and so far. But anyhow, I made friends with this flight standards chief at the FAA. What started out, he thought I was like one of these really fruitcake bananas, you know, like, here we go, another conspiracy theorist. And after a while, he listened. Now we became the best of pals with just what you're saying within the government being a conspiracy. Gets to a point where at the FAA, he believes this stuff, that something's going on, somebody's putting stuff in jet fuel, and there's flights that don't necessarily make sense. But everything's segmented, even with the FAA. So where you have the conspiracy theory say, like, you have to be aware of everything. There's people that just want to go through lunch, and they just want the clock to hit at 4:30, like me today on a Friday, and just want to go home. You know, you want to do your jobs. A lot of people in service go up and beyond, exemplary employees. A lot of people want to do as little as possible and do the bare minimal. But this is being operated where everything's so segmented that I tell you, even the people doing the spraying, I guarantee it, they're probably not even aware of what they're doing. So they could be loading stuff on an aircraft where it's so segmented that they wouldn't know what the fuel mix is. The pilot's flying a plane. There's no rear view or side view mirrors on a jet, so the kind of trails you leave. And then everybody says you also have that peer pressure where this is all normal. What are you kidding? I mean, there's corporations behind us like Raytheon who bought us the Manhattan Project, who are experts. You know, you had Robert Oppenheimer making the atomic bomb, who had no idea what he was building at the time. He thought he was creating an energy source for the United States Energy Commission. So if you could fool Robert Oppenheimer into creating a bomb with the creator of it not being aware what he was doing at that point in time, then you could just about pull anything off with this. And that's where it comes with this. And you're absolutely right.
I guess I kind of also think that, you know, there's a lot of folks that really assume that inside the government that everybody just keeps their mouth shut when they're ordered to keep their mouth shut. And I guess under certain circumstances and under certain conditions, I see it feasible that the government could threaten you and give you enough evidence to be so afraid that you would never say anything. But to me, that seems like it's really uncommon. It would have to be some extreme condition because it would require the secrecy of too many people. And I just don't think that people keep secrets ever, period. You know, they don't. I don't think they do. I don't think people are naturally secretive, you know, to the point where they would guard something and never say a word to anyone, you know. So to me, all of this would require also an awful lot of secrecy, not just misdirection so that people don't know what they're doing. But it's also going to have to require a certain degree of secrecy upon the part of a bunch of folks. I mean, don't you think?
True. I mean, but this is like where people think like everything, you know, it's the us and them mentality. Mm-hmm. And I could tell you, I mean, I have certain kind of protocols for who I work for. I have certain kind of derivatives. I go through training what I could release to public and what I can't. You know, and I could lose my job over it. That doesn't have to do with threats or national security. It has to do with revealing information that I don't have an authority to release. And I mean, I work for the Treasury Department. We're held to high standards where there's a, you know, certain kind of code of conduct that you have to live by. Me, how should I say, I infuriate a lot of my superiors because I like to push that envelope. I like my First Amendment right, but I don't break the law. I don't break the laws and the stuff the areas that I'm going into aren't really my official duties. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I guess the other thing too, I'm thinking in your regular job as a fraud investigator, to me that doesn't seem like it would be as other than people's rights to privacy kind of thing, or violation of a person's rights to privacy. It seems to me that would be a lot less classified area, you know, than the FAA or somebody or whatever government agency it is spraying chemicals in the air. Now, that I would think would be classified, you know. But fraud investigation, even though you would have to be secretive about some things because you'd be violating folks' rights or whatever, you know, it's like these HIPAA laws in the hospitals. I mean, your protocol you'd absolutely have to follow. But it doesn't seem to me that it would be like really high-level secretive stuff unless it were, well, you know, some big company or something like that. But I mean, it's...
But that guy in the FAA doesn't have... He's not exposed to this whole conspiracy. He might be totally unaware of the geoengineering and climate change and the state of the planet and how many rads of radiation the sun's releasing. He has a certain thing where he goes to work. He has this area of airspace, and he's got these aircraft by little blips on a screen. You know, to have somebody say, like, you're totally aware of a conspiracy that's going on. This guy's just putting in his 8 to 10 hour day worrying about aircraft coming into Kennedy that aren't going to crash into aircraft that are going from Boston to Philadelphia. And, you know, people are busy to the point where, you know, people that are unemployed, that are living on Social Security disability and that are stoners, they could sit there and contemplate the world and the existence. There's people that have to earn a living. And, you know, there's people that have to go to a job that don't even look up at the sky. And I have, like, special agents that I work with that I've woken people up to geoengineering, and they're like, you know, believe me, they're not part of a government conspiracy. These are, you know, people who monitor this stuff. And they're unaware it's going on. Now we all look at the sky. I have a big presentation at work. All my coworkers, everybody knows. But I have to do my job. I have to do this between breaks and lunchtime, and I educate people, and I kind of made a knack of it. But, you know, everybody thinks they're like, oh, you know something. And that's dangerous, because there's people that go, there's people that work in a cubicle, there's people that don't see daylight for 8 hours. And sometimes they're in a car, they look at traffic. You know, I had an instance where I pulled out next to a Suffolk County police sergeant going out on patrol one morning. I'm near the 5th Precinct on my way to work. So I'm driving to work. I pull up next to this cruiser. Now I have antennas all over my truck. It looks like I'm some kind of alien from another planet from all the radios that I keep. So I look down on this police officer. He looks up at me. We're stopped at a red light, and the sky's full of checkered squares and grid patterns from the chemtrail spraying. So instead of educating this police officer and going, oh, I know it all, this is what this is, and let me educate you, all I said is, let me ask you a question. Do those look like normal contrails from jets to you? He looked up. He didn't even realize it. Then once he opened his eyes, he looked up and says, you know what? They don't. So all I said was, you know, there's people that say this is called geoengineering and somebody's altering our making clouds for global warming. You know, this police officer drove away and he was like staring up at the sky. I guarantee you he's going to look up for the till whenever. But it took something that simple that somebody who wouldn't even be aware of this. Now, it's all in the approach to wake people up what's going. If I have an approach like a lot of these activists have, and what are you, stupid? You don't see this stuff? You can't sell it that way.
No.
I have no idea what the chemicals are. I just know something is not right because the sky doesn't look the way it did. And the weatherman tells me that, you know, oh, it's just because global warming's causing, you know, jet contrails to make more clouds than they used to. And I'm like, that's a crock of, you know, doo-doo. That's not necessarily accurate because, you know, there have always been atmospheric conditions and, you know, the Earth's atmosphere didn't change that much, that contrails, normal jet contrails and air traffic didn't increase that much in the last 4 or 5 years, that, you know, the sky would be full, that would go from beautiful blue to like complete over whiteout conditions, as we call them. And that's what happens every day. You see the trails start in the east in the morning, they go horizon to horizon, they crisscross, they spread into clouds, and by 2 or 3 o'clock it's a whiteout. It's a cloudy day.
It's to the point where what you see in the sky a lot of times you attribute it to clouds, but it's not clouds. When you see some legitimate clouds, like there's illegitimate and legitimate clouds.
When was the last time you saw those puffy cumulus? You see them for a couple of hours in the middle of the day. You never see a full day of cumulus. You never see a brilliant blue sky with big puffy white clouds. Never for more than a few hours. And if you observe them, you'll see they'll spray contrails through them. They use whatever chemicals they spray in those contrails. They suck the moisture out of the cumulus. They combine them with the nitrogen in the air, and poof, all of a sudden it blows out. By the end of the day, you got these big, beautiful, brilliant clouds that get assaulted. They get all the moisture sucked out of it. By 3 or 4 o'clock, there's a few clouds on the horizon. There's an orange cast where it looks like there's smog everywhere you look. That's the visibility. You can't see your nebulas and your stars through your telescope. And that's the stuff they put in the atmosphere. When this stuff comes down as mist or as fog, this causes all the burn on your trees. You look at all your foliage. Look at the trees. Look at a leaf tomorrow. You see little tiny burn marks on every single leaf. That's the sulfuric acid produced in whatever the spraying is. So whereas I can produce, and whatever I produce, people in California, and this guy Patrick Roddy, who's a photographer in San Francisco, who photographs time-lapse, who went in front of the EPA, he even gave a presentation in front of the governor and Governor Brown about the drought that's being caused by this. Because, yes, this pressure system is causing it over California. They're manipulating the weather. For some reason, they're drying out the state.
And you know, that's frightening. That's very, very frightening.
You know why? I think, and I have satellites, and if you go in my geoengineering commander, you could see it. The natural jet stream that comes from Japan, Fukushima is spewing out radiation for the last 4 years. That never got capped. That was never like Chernobyl where it was isolated. There's radiation that goes into the... I have satellite images that show, and here's radiated water, and what do? They encapsulate it in barium, and they shoot it over the South Pacific. Sounds like a science fiction movie, except you could see it on satellite. They cause high-pressure systems, and they withhold moisture from California. Why? Because it's full of radiation, and the Pacific Ocean has radiation levels, and the fish are washing up on shore, and we are in such a sorry situation from all the radiation from Fukushima that people would panic and go paranoid. So here's some crazy NASA scientists. They're withholding the radiated rain. What are they doing? They're trying to get clean rain out of the tropics, and they're trying to get it to come into California. What happens? They flooded the heck out of Texas. Why? Because the Earth spins too fast. But you look on satellite images, and this is there, and it looks like a science fiction movie. The jet stream's completely altered. There's a pressure system off the coast of Florida that's spinning in place that doesn't match any kind of physical storms. Like I told you at the beginning of this conversation, of 18 years of tracking hurricanes that develop off the coast of Africa, come across the Atlantic, and go up either way, either to the Gulf, hit Florida, hit the Cape and the Carolinas, or come to Long Island. There are systems that are like moving in directions of the jet stream that I've never seen in my life, that the whole jet stream of planet Earth is getting altered. There are jet streams that are coming up the Gulf of Mexico that are circling like ram's horns, going on the west coast, going on the east coast. They're picking up this nucleated rain. We're getting hail and ice. It snowed in South and North Dakota in August. That's back to this endothermic reaction. They are making ice and snow for the Greenland ice shelf. And every once in a while it backfires and it kicks in. And we had snow in North Dakota in August. We had elk in 2014 in Colorado that were freeze-dried elk. That the official story is that the elk stepped in thin ice and drowned in a reservoir in Colorado. From what I know of nature and watching Mutual Omaha Wild Kingdom, elk love the cold. They are excellent swimmers, and it's very hard to kill an elk in the wild unless you freeze-dry it with some kind of chemical spraying. And that was in the papers, that a whole herd of elk in Colorado were frozen to death. So there's a lot of stuff happening. Now,
go ahead.
Again, you know, do we come out? I honestly think if the government does come out and says, look, we're in such a sad situation that, you know, our survival is day by day, I think people would panic and go nuts. Do you withhold information? Do you let people know? You know what? I've been doing this, and I've met reasonable people. I met people in a scientific community. I met meteorologists who agree with this 100%. There's meteorologists that walked away that aren't doing it anymore because of the geoengineering. I have weather people at Channel 12 News here in New York. They let me post stuff on geoengineering. I think they support it. The official story is they can't come out, they can't rally it. You know what I mean? Because the official story is, for whatever reason, we can't instill panic. Who's ever, they're not threatened by it. You know, being a weatherman's a very high-paid job. It's very competitive. And all it takes is a look from your station manager that, are you sure you want to go that route? And you go, oh, boy, you know, am I going to give up a $120,000 a year job because, you know, I want to go on a crusade? So you shut your mouth. You don't have to threaten somebody or waterboard them or do stuff. You just, you know, you put their economic faith, and they go, this is your job, and this is what you got to concentrate. And that's how you keep people in line. You don't have to threaten them with murder or putting them in FEMA camps. You just go, are you sure you want to risk this? And the economic, the job front, all you got to do is say, hey, you know, you might lose your job. You need to do your job. They don't push it that, oh, if you go on a crusade and you exercise your rights, you might get fired, because then it goes into conspiracy realm. They go, well, you know, and I get this at my job too. You know, you need to concentrate on your job. And you know what? When it boils down to, it's absolutely right, because there have been days that I went through disciplinary where I wasn't doing my official duties because I was on the phone with the FAA and I was on, and I had to take vacation time for doing this, and I had to find a balance that this is my crusade to save the world and this is what's important to me. But, you know, this is how the world is. I've been trying to change the world since I was in my 20s, and I'm not going to change it. Then at one point, I decided just to maneuver and just to navigate through the world and get by with at least resistance as I could. Till I found, you know, I moved out to the island. I left a lot of my friends. I work behind a computer, very isolated. I love my beaches. I love to go out and photograph seals. And all of a sudden, I see this crap all over the sky like checkerboards. And something's not right. And being the person that I am, I don't like to get snowed. I don't like to get lied to, because I do that for a living, and I could pick up a lie, and I know when I'm being worked. And
let me ask you a question. You were talking about seeing an increase in radiation from the sun, and you were looking at it, I assume, from a website somewhere. Tell me about that. How much increased radiation are we seeing right now?
We're seeing a lot of activity coming from coronal holes in the sun. Coronal holes are a new phenomenon that they've existed, but never this frequently and on this level. And the levels of X-ray radiation are high that have never been at progressive high levels.
So they're a whole lot higher than they used to be, but what are we looking at time frame wise? I mean, when was it that you would say that they were normal and now they're not? Or what's the timeline that you're going by?
The sun would flare. Solar flares in space weather was used on like 26-year cycles, where the sun would get active considering solar flares. In ham words, that's, you know, when like 10 mega, I mean, the 10 meter band becomes active and you could talk to Europe, a sun flare hits and using sunspots for communication. Solar flares is an activity that got measured over the life cycle of the sun, like a 20-year cycle. We should be currently, but this changes from data, we should be 3 or 4 years into a down cycle of this 26-year cycle of sunspots. What happened from 2011 to 2015, the number of sunspots might be in a down cycle, which gets confusing. It's kind of going into fresh territory. The activity that's causing all this radiation are not solar flares, but these coronal holes. If you look at satellite images, the GOES 15 or Solar Dynamics SDO satellite, you see like a big black spot on the sun. This is actually an opening on the reaction of the sun. Out of this opening comes coronal mass ejections. Stuff comes out of that, depending on where the opening is, how it hits Earth. What comes out of there is radiation, solar wind, and a whole bunch of stuff that nobody knows. The time frame to compare it, the SDO satellite's been in orbit 4 years. There's no data. So did this phenomenon exist somewhere in the past? It's, again, insufficient data on that. The radiation levels to compare it to, other than this four-year comparison and being in a down cycle, is hard to compare. The only comparables that you could say that, where I say that, hey, things aren't the same that they were, is by the looks of the sun, the feel of the sun, the sunburn. People, you go out and you get exposure on the sun. People don't tan. You burn. The UV index is higher. The sun doesn't look the same. It doesn't feel the same. And whatever's being done, something is masking the sun. You look at the sun from sunrise to sunset. It's always filtered. There's always the spraying in front of it. For whatever reason, are they trying to hide something? Are they trying to filter something? I don't know. But according to the NASA space weather, to all the observatories, they have the scales. What's a normal scale? And they have these graphs. They have the delayer of the ionosphere absorption. And that's usually solar flares when they affected. You know what I mean? The chart.
Right, exactly.
You see the world map, and you see that purple dot, and that purple dot will turn to red, and sometimes it'll go into the 20 megahertz where it degrades communications, and then you have, but that's caused by solar flares. The solar flare activity is at a minimal. But now where you find people in so many conflicting theories. You have people that are saying the sun's at a solar minimal, that we're headed into a mini ice age because the last two winters were so cold. And you have so many conflicting theories that, like we go back to, you don't know what to believe. Because one person will put off a theory or not take something into consideration. Yes, the last two winters have been much colder than usual in North America. The rest of the world's been high. We've had temperatures in what? In, with the heat index, 162 degrees in Iran, India, 130 degrees. The planet Earth, the water temperatures are rising. The only thing that's cooling this planet is the spraying they're doing. And again, that's that barium hydroxide and ammonium nitrate. These trails are causing that cooling effect. That you could feel. You go out on a hot day, that sun will burn you like roast you. You see a bunch of trays sprayed, and what I'd like to compare it to is like on a hot day when you're out in shorts or whatever and it's really warm and you go to the freezer to pull out an ice cream and you open that freezer door and you got that cold rush of air. That's exactly what the environment feels like when they spray it.
Well, I'll tell you something. We're getting close in to being out of time. But there were some things I would like to cover with you, or at least ask some a couple of questions here, because we've got just a little bit of time left. So,
I don't even realize what time it was.
Yeah, QSO is a long show. We're a two-hour show, but
Oh my God! It's like quarter to ten.
Yeah, you've been. We've been talking a while. Here's a question I'd like to ask. What do you think in regards to amateur radio in terms of the propagation? Do you think that bombarding the clouds and, well, it's obviously the lower ionosphere. Do you think it affects ham radio propagation? Do you think we're seeing any effects from that?
I think it's, from my experience, it's probably better. Propagation's been wonderful. I use a Yaesu 897 with, I'm operating at 100 watts. I'm at sea level, and I have an MA5 beam. I've, on 20 meters, I've gotten South Africa. I've gotten the Russian research facility in Antarctica. So the propagation gray line has been phenomenal with 100 watts. I haven't been doing this that long that I don't really have it to compare, but when people can't, you know, I have some ham operators that have been doing this for a long time. When we compare logbooks, they're pushing 1,000 watts and, you know, getting Antarctica or South Africa, they think I make this stuff up. But it's logged. It's, you know, I have the EQSL, I have the contact, and I'm, you know, I have the friend on Facebook that I made from the radio contact.
Well, I guess I was just wondering, because I thought, well, I wonder how this might affect, you know, propagation and whatnot. Well, you know what? I was going to say we're close to out of time, and if there's something you'd like to say, we got about 2 minutes left. You can kind of wind it up if there's something that you'd like to add. I think we've covered a lot of really interesting, mentally challenging material here.
You know, just the only thing I could say as far as geoengineering, just look up. Open your eyes. Look. Beware of your surroundings. There's an organization called geoengineeringwatch.org on the web. It's run by Dane Whittington. He lives in Shasta, California. He's affected by the drought and by the fires and all this information. He was in the solar panel business, and he jumped into this both feet. So if you want to get more information, it's geoengineeringwatch.org. He's a very dependable source. There's also Jim Lee and climateviewer.com on the web. And just Google geoengineering. Google NASA ML Series, Project Ice Bridge. All the stuff we covered, it's all on there. There's a load of information on the web, and none of this is really secret, because even the chemicals that they're spraying into projects, it's just, we live in a world where someone's doing something, and it's like that Saturday Night Live skit. It wasn't me. This is in your face. They declared it. It's on the web. You can find the website of what's going on, but somebody's just saying, you know, not to trust your eyes.
Well, I thank you so much for coming on with us. This is, of course, we waited a long time in order to be able to get out and talk about this. And all of what you're talking about is very interesting. You'll have to come back, because we've got a lot more territory we could cover beyond a shadow of a doubt. Even with the amount of time allowed with QSO here, we still don't have enough time. So I want to say thank you much, Joe, for coming on with us and talking, and this has been really fascinating to me. I was just amazing to think about all this.
Thanks for having me, and let me give you the disclaimer. This is my own investigation and my own theories, and I am in no way bound or acting on behalf of a representative of the United States government or any agency thereof.
All righty. Thank you so much. Well, that's all the time we've got for QSO today. We appreciate you tuning in and listening to us. Want to invite you to come back again next week, same time, same place, right here for QSO. And a very special thanks this week to our guest, Joe Smoljan, W2FED, 73s.